The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, to critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we'll see if we can finish up the doctrine and importance of Bible doctrine this evening. We've got ample time left over. We'll get started on the doctrine of USA and prophecy. That's my call. Otherwise, before the study, obviously, if you expect to approach the Bible as you would any secular book, you're going to fail miserably in regards to understanding the spiritual principles that's embedded in regards to the Scriptures. This book is supernatural in this aspect, and that is that it demands that the believer is in fellowship, isolation of the sin nature, when they study God's Word. To be in fellowship means that you are filled with God's Holy Spirit. And a believer is in one of two states, either you're in fellowship or out of fellowship. You get out of fellowship through personal sin. The rapid recovery system that has been provided for us is 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique, whereas our prayer of confession, God forgives us of those sins, and we are, again, filled with God the Holy Spirit. Our sin nature, the old man, as it's also called, is put in his case, so to speak. We take off the old man, and now we put on the new man, the regenerate man, the human spirit, that is the byproduct of God the Holy Spirit through regeneration. And in this fashion, in this state of spirituality, we are then prepared to assimilate the very information that God the Holy Spirit sponsored and inspired to begin with, that which we have recorded in the Scriptures, the Old Testament and New Testament combined, hence the doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine in that fashion. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for your absolute veracity, that we can depend upon your word no matter what else fails in regards to our life around us. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible doctrine is that content of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament canon combined. Its importance is simply stated that without it, we would have no relationship with God. We would not know what God is, what He expects of us, the aspects in regards to creation in and of itself, and our purpose and reason for being here. So it is obviously ultimately important for the individual that seeks to understand the mysteries of the universe as men delve in through their academia and try to figure these things out. So much of the information is provided through Bible doctrine that if they would just simply adhere to it, God would probably bless them in their thinking and advance them in regards to their science even further beyond than what one sees today in that vein. However, the importance of Bible doctrine to most people is they can take it or leave it. Mostly leave it. And believers are included in this regards. In the last days, this doctrine has been shuffled aside. It's been placed under all the useless commentaries and pastoral preaching in regards to churches. It is not the ultimate pursuit and goal of understanding in regards to believers. And in fact, the believers think that they can deal with it like they do with anything else in life, play cue with it, pick and choose what they want, or come up with their own ideas and throw in their little bit of human viewpoint, sacred cows, with the truth of doctrine. And because of that, we find ourselves universally as a church today. The very spiritual temperature of the church is that we are lukewarm, we are putrid before God. And in this vein, we do not want to fall into, so we pursue it according to divine design, and that is seeking the entire council, which again, of all the years I've been around churches, etc., I have yet to see any other way than our approach of verse by verse, word for word teaching, and doctrinal categorical teaching in that vein to cover the entire aspects of the teachings of God's Word to as much degree possible in our lifetime. For those who will go on positive volition, who will follow the protocol in regards to studying the God's Word and applying it in regards to their life, they stand to enjoy many blessings that the rest of the world, the maladjusted types, are void of because of their rejection of doctrine. And that is Roman numeral 10, where we're dealing with in regards to pursuit of Bible doctrine by the positive believer results in great blessings. As we saw, it included A, simply the divine viewpoint of life, recognizing the two pools of thought that one can draw upon in regards to living this life, and that is God's thought, the mind of Christ, as it's also called, that is the Scriptures, the divine viewpoint, God and revelation of Himself and His plan to mankind in word and in idea, in philosophical thinking, etc., and understanding, or that which is contrary to that, distorts it in any fashion or rejects it or intermingles with it, error, which is called human viewpoint. Human viewpoint is in contradiction to and antagonism to the divine viewpoint of life, because human viewpoint is that which is sponsored by Satan, and he promotes it through negative volition and the energy of the flesh regards to mankind and their approach to life otherwise in that respect. So to have the divine viewpoint, to be aware of our surroundings, of our time in history and where we live in regard to history and God's plan for our life otherwise, is a blessing that orients us, whereas the rest of the world that rejects these things obviously are lost and running around in circles, as well as other gymnastics, mental and emotional gymnastics that they jump through hoops, etc., to try to figure things out and to come to grips and terms regards to life that is thrown at them otherwise in that respect. And we can see through it. I'm telling you, one of the most stabilizing aspects in regards to any test that you face is having a recognition and understanding of that test and the issues before you, knowing and having the knowledge. Most of the upsetting natures in regards to circumstance, situation, life is not knowing what's going on and being left, obviously, in the dark in regards to certain things. Doctrine lightens the path for us. It gives us vision. It gives us focus. And it keeps us on the straight and narrow in regards to threading ourselves through Satan's world that is bombarding us with their own human viewpoint, ideas, and approaches with regards to life. Today it is of utmost importance so that one does not fall into the void, the Antichrist syndrome, that I'm firmly believing at this point in time in our history we are seeing the very markings and beginnings and initiation of the push in regards to introducing him to mankind. The time that it is before he will appear must truly be fairly short indeed. Again, a few years is short compared to time in and of itself. So we are looking one step closer. The world has shown a predisposition and willingness to fall for delusions and lies in regards to what's going on truly in the world on a global scale. And obviously we know that the time of the Antichrist, the world will fall for the big lie, and this is as a Christ peace and security in regards to their lives, and that is obviously the cry of safety, security is a major cry today that we're seeing in regards to those who pursue life and operate under fear, allowing their emotions to rule because they are delved deep into the darkness of life and they have no true light to see the upbeat in regards to what's truly going on around them. Bible doctrine helps us identify our sin nature, our SCA trends, our activities, so that we can obviously keep close tabs in our life, that we can prosper ourselves spiritually by redeeming as much time as possible, by staying in fellowship as much as possible, to know when your sin nature, the inward battle, the inward conflict that we all face every day in our lives is trying to take and get the best of us, and to identify so you can deal with it. If you don't know your enemy, how are you going to deal with them? And that's just a simple military phenomenon that you have to obviously recognize regards to the spiritual warfare or physical warfare applied to the spiritual warfare that we're all involved in regards to this world. So to know and identify your sin nature, what is STA activity? What is a personal sin? Personal sin is disobedience to the truth of Bible doctrine. And so therefore, those who dismiss regards to certain royal commands, royal imperatives and commands and directives regards to God's will for their life, even though they may not be engaged in the big sins as they are so perceived by most Christians, they are still out of line and out of step with the truth of doctrine, and they are involved in operating under their sin nature. And they are spinning their wheels. It is action without honor, no matter what human good they may be involved in. So all these things obviously have impact in regards to serving an exacting God. So that's just one. How many believers truly recognize that God is an exacting God? He says either do it my way or it's the highway for you. Whether it's phase one or whether it's phase two, and the eternal rewards and blessings associated with that. And the exacting God, how can you know exactly what God wants? Well, Bible doctrine. The importance of Bible doctrine. You can't be expected to do something if you're not instructed how to do it. A parent doesn't tell a child to go out and build a doghouse without instructing them in regards to the mechanics and engineering that goes into building a doghouse. And so you got to know, as anything else in life, Bible doctrine teaches us these things. So to identify the sin nature, and through persistency, consistency, persevering in regards to our rebound, our pursuit of doctrine in our own life under our NPR, application of doctrine under divine love, ultimately we will have victory in time in regards to our sin nature, which that victory in time through the repetition isolation of the sin nature will be redeemable for us in terms of SG3, and that is point C, isolation of and victory over the sin nature, over the sinful trend of Adam, also known as the old sin nature, the old man, simply called sometimes flesh, sometimes simply sin, refers to the nature of sin. So we looked at all those verses. That's where a lot of Christians are going to be surprised, as much as they were involved in regards to church in their life, but yet they were not employing rebound fastidiously and adequately before God, not isolating their sin nature, embracing the pure truth, and walking in the straight and narrow in regards to the terms of Bible doctrine, that what they were doing is not rewardable for their eternal disposition. And their works will be largely, if not almost completely, in many cases, burn up at the bema seat reward ceremony. D, a doctrine gives you discernment. Again, discernment. Biblical common sense. It's the way I like to look at discernment. To be discerning. To know, again, how to critique properly the issues at hand. Finding out the facts. Not engaging in the emotional and SCA knee-jerk reaction in regards to things. Not judging based on appearance, but critiquing through doctrine, things of this nature. To be discerning, to have insight and wisdom as it pertains to circumstances, situations, and people in life. Sometimes feeling that people get in regards to certain circumstances or people that they don't feel right about for some reason, they can't put their hand on it, but discernment is largely in play because certain things just don't fall into place as it might otherwise be understood in its purest form. And obviously with doctrine, you see that on a very high level. Legitimate prosperity, recognizing the difference between being blessed by God as a personal blessing by God, bestowing His blessing upon you in response to your obedience to His plan, versus being blessed by Satan's world because you're out pursuing Satan's world, understanding that Satan, negative volition, take care of their own in some cases. Otherwise, they may not take care of their own. So F, that's where we left off last class. Doctrine gives you confidence. To have confidence in life. Not to be vacillating. You don't have to be shy in regards to your understanding of the doctrine. You've seen it documented. You've seen it proclaimed and taught in regards to the context of which it is delivered in the scriptures, etc. To have that assurance in your life that you're doing it right. You can't put a price tag on regards to having RMA, that relaxed mental attitude of knowing that God is pleased with you. That God is, if you will, your friend. And that He is for you because you are obviously seeking to pursue His plan and maintain your MPR, your spiritual balance in regards to your Christian life. And those things give you confidence. Confidence comes, obviously, through repetition in the physical world, whether it's athletic, military, whatever, by doing things repetitively, etc., over and over again. One starts to gain confidence in their abilities. They sharpen their skills, etc. Well, it's the same thing with doctrine. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Confidence there is code for Bible doctrine. Believers have sacrificed a lot in time throughout history to maintain their hold in regard to doctrine. Many have given up their lives under martyrdom. Many have lost wealth, family, friends, businesses, relationships, etc., because they would not compromise doctrine. See? And with the continued intake of doctrine, application of it in your life, you grow in that confidence and that assurance as you have confirmed over and over and over again the very doctrines that initially that you heard when you first started on doctrine. And you see it expressed in so many different ways. That's a cool thing about doing doctrinal studies, categorical studies, because you see the same principle communicated in different ways. Verses can sometimes be seen at different levels based on the context of which it is applied in regards to them. So to have confidence in life rather than running around scared, emotionally distraught, anxious in regard to things, but knowing that God has control over life. God has control over our history. No time in history did God ever lose control, no matter how bad things may have been. And all the things that did occur, bad or good, did nothing but to continue to fulfill God's plan in regards to the history of mankind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. That is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and His ministries in regards to the Christian life, the indwelling, filling ministry. Timidity looks at approaching life with doctrine in a cowardly way. Now, doctrine, obviously, and being in fellowship, I mean, that makes all the difference in the world, generally speaking, whether you're in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. Being in fellowship gives you courage. Courage to stand up and proclaim the truth, no matter whom may be taking issue with it or antagonistic to it that's in your presence. You may even know about it. What people think in regards to the doctrine that you teach, and even when you know that they basically disregard it in many areas of their lives. And you just don't cower down, you don't buckle and start catering to that. No, you keep the truth out there. You keep it in front of people. That's our lifeline. It's my lifeline, it's your lifeline. To always keep it in front of us, no matter what failings we may have along the way otherwise. And to proclaim it boldly, to teach with authority, things of that nature. Afraid that you're going to run somebody off because you tell them to shut up and listen in Bible class, you know, to demand the protocol and decorum in regards to Bible class, to get in fellowship. This is what doctrine says, do this, do that, you know. The STA, you can see it sometimes, it's just, at least that's the one that looked like to me anyway. Rebellious, see, the STA is rebellious. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Almost sounds like a familial setting, doesn't it? The authority of the parent, the power over the children, loving the child with all that they have in regards to their persons, and recognizing and applying it and understanding that love being in the disciplinary measures that they set forth for their children so they can grow up and hopefully turn into well-rounded adults. So power looks at the fact that God is omnipotent. He will provide power. If he needs to raise Paul from the dead, from being stoned to death, well, he'll do it if Paul hasn't finished his ministry. You know. All the examples that we have in the Old Testament, people think that God is not expressing his power today. You know, that somehow God of the Old Testament is different than God of the Old Testament. God in the Old Testament, or New Testament. God in the Old Testament is the kick-ass God. See? God in the New Testament, he's a roly-poly love God. No, it's the same God in both books. It's a matter of we are in a period of grace. And his power is being expressed, but people are just blind to it. Proverbs 3:24-26. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. He established it ex nihilo, out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. Put that in your evolutionary pipe and smoke it. There was no big bang. It was simply a word. I understand. Even Satan knows that. He's got to be laughing all the time in regards to the stupidity that he has been able to pave people's minds with regards to science and false science and things of this nature. He was there when the universe was created. He knows better. See, but anyway. He doesn't care. You want to be a bigger idiot than what I would even probably propose to you? Oh, fine, go for it. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. Obviously it looks at the divine design as the architect and creator of our universe. And what brilliance. What brilliance of God that we serve. just look at the very nature and the very makeup in regards to this world and this life that we live in and the life around us in the universe. It's beyond comprehension. By understanding, He established the heavens. Verse 20, by His knowledge, the deeps were broken up. And the skies drip with dew to manufacture the natural source of water and rain and the seas and the lakes, etc. Verse 21, my son, let them, that's wisdom, not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Make wisdom distinct in regards to your focus in life. So they will be life to your soul, verse 22, and adornment to your neck. It'll give you capacity for life. You will present yourself before others in a solid fashion. Even though they may be antagonistic to some of your philosophical views otherwise. But doing your work as unto the Lord, etc. People recognize that. People that have any integrity. And that's what counts. You don't care whether, if people don't have integrity, they're lazy. They're the goofs offs. They're the ones that steal from their employers and things. You know, who cares about them? If you're going to have any type of association with people and have a true concern in regards to what that's going to be people that have integrity, good work ethics and morals in and of themselves. The rest of these idiots out there in the world, they can be idiots, see. Obviously, you're striving to live a life a little higher in the moral bookcase of knowledge than a lot of people in the world otherwise have. Adornment to your neck. Then you will, verse 23, walk in your way securely. The confidence, see, the assurance. Watching people do things around you, how people may become great in time, powerful in time, rich in time. 11. Your foot is secure before God. Remember, it's all temporal. What we have here now is all temporal. The closer you get to 60 years old, the more you're going to recognize that. I'm going to recognize it one of these days myself. Then you're walking away securely and your foot will not stumble. Doesn't mean that you won't sin. James says we all stumble in many ways. But not in a catastrophic way. Not one that will cause you to crash and burn completely and miss out on in regards to being a prize contender. 24, when you lie down, verse 24, you will not be afraid. Get in fellowship before you go to sleep. Shoot your prayers up as you normally would and recognize that even though you may be at a disadvantage being asleep, that God's going to cover you anyway. He's going to protect you, see, to ensure that you continue to express your positive volition. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You won't have the anxiety running around in regards to your brain computer because you're running under your sin nature and you're not putting your trust in God otherwise with respect to things in life. It doesn't mean that you may not think about things and go over things in your mind and all that. That's natural. But ultimately, that you can doze off into sleep land, recognizing that God is in control. 25, do not be afraid of sudden fear. What the news may bring down upon us, all the fake news. One thing I'll say about Trump, he definitely knows how to call the kettle black. He'll call what is lie, he's got his own, I know that.
but the news out there, when you start understanding the true agenda of what's going on a global basis, you recognize that all these people basically are in it for the money. Whatever they can do to promote their own agenda, etc. And you open up the internet or you grab your paper, whatever, usually it's the internet anymore, and you know, more news. Everything's spreading south now. Everything's spreading in the middle. Man, they've been cooking these numbers for so long. You think they're going to quit now? You know? The biggest test to me is not to be under righteous indignation all damn day long. You know? But sudden fear, even for your life. Yeah, the adrenaline may kick in. You see what's going to happen. Fear may hit, but you recognize and you rebound it. Or the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, when they unleash their hordes of tyranny and authoritarianism. That all these Antichrist robot wannabes are practicing today. The onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Everybody else just gets thrown for a loop. I'm still blown away. We haven't missed a lick here. Sudden fear. Look out for sudden fear. See. We haven't missed a lick. God's kept us going. He's kept all the churches going to whatever degree of the test that they're under in that respect. God will provide as is necessary. 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You won't be wrapped up in the snares of negative volition, all the human viewpoint, the fear-mongering, and all these other things that goes on in regards to when governments come in and they want to establish a dictatorial type of rule. Understand mandates and orders and all that they're doing out there in regards to business. These are just new regulations that are being handed down to businesses now. These regulations, they'll keep them just as long as they want to. They put different words on it. Probably from now on out, you're going to walk in Walmart and watch and see footsteps and lines in regards to the cash register. That's the way it is. You know, what better way to truly get people geared up in regards to provision under a socialistic dictatorial government on a global basis than having the big industry box stores remaining open as essential and closing down all the mom-pop stores throughout business, because that's where everybody will go to get their stuff in the future. See, all this stuff. Of course, the world hears these kinds of words and they just shun them. They just poo-hoo it. Why? Because they don't know a damn thing about the doctrine and the importance of Bible doctrine. All they know is their own little human, simple human viewpoint, sacred cows, and their emotions in regards to their life. So this is all designed to give you inner happiness. No, God's plan is being fulfilled. It's really pretty cool on that end of it. On that end of it. Just to think almost overnight, the world has shown, yeah, we are negative in mass. We're postured. Bring the man on. Give us a lie. We'll bite into it. Just make us scared. Make us run in our emotions. We'll cow down. Inner happiness. Now that's point G. Bible doctrine gives you inner happiness. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. How blessed is a man who finds wisdom and a man who gains understanding. For his profit is better than the profit of silver, verse 14, and his grain and his gain than fine gold. Verse 15, she is more precious than jewels. Wisdom is. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honors. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and then the verses that we just read. So inner happiness, inner peace, those go hand in hand. 1 John 1:4, New Testament. And these things we write, that is the doctrine that is incorporated into the epistle of 1 John. For what purpose? So that our joy may be made complete. To communicate, express, and spread the truth of Bible doctrine to others that so desire it also. Produces joy, that's inner joy, in regards to one's life, inner happiness. And again, inner peace, the harmonious sister of happiness, Psalm 119, 165. But obviously, you've got to cling to the doctrine. You've got to keep doctrine in front of you for these things to become reality. You can't just dismiss it, disregard it, and expect to have that inner happiness, to have inner peace. You've got to take it seriously and apply it in your own life. Psalm 119, 165, those who love your law have great peace. Not just peace, but great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Whatever the world may throw at them in regards to potential conflicts and other things that tend to upset life, okay, so be it. Proverbs 3, 2, 1 and 17. Proverbs 3, 2, for length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. That is the teachings of God's commandments, Bible doctrine. Verse 17, saw that. All our paths are peace. To know you're fulfilling God's plan for your life brings inner peace. Philippians 4, 7. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Again, the omission of fear, keeping fear at bay in your life. There's no reason to be anxious. All it does will make you grow old fast, make your hair turn gray, give you stomach indigestion, constipation, and all the other problems that people have physically. Physical problems that people have, if the truth be known, you probably take it all back to spiritual and emotional problems they got in life, interrupting their normal physiology of function in regards to their body. Truly. I'm not saying all, but I'm saying a lot of it can be put that way. You deal with, you know, in the alternative medical fields like natural doctors, and they'll tell you that kind of stuff. I learned one from mine that stress causes prostate problems in men. Stress. You know. It's a friend of mine was telling me about that. So, well, you're saying, you can have stress and not be under fear. You recognize that. Philippians 4:7, Peace be anxious for nothing, verse 6. All right. Being in everything by prayer, supplication, obviously a healthy prayer life, constantly keeping things before the throne of grace, supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To place that in a visual that we can appreciate is we know that Jesus Christ had perfect peace in his life, and he had it all the way up of being taken to the cross and nailed on the cross. And he maintained that inner peace, inner happiness, inner joy. But he had a lot of stress, a lot of pressure put on him too. You bleed blood, you got a little pressure going on in your life. But it doesn't mean he was fearful either. See? So all these things are there for our example. Divine guidance, it goes along with the divine viewpoint of life. We'll put it here to give us direction in life here. And that's Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is reprogramming your mind with the mind of Jesus Christ. Get rid of the human viewpoint. Fill up your thinking with the truth of Bible doctrine. And that transforms you spiritually. It doesn't change you in regard to your personality, in regards to what you are. But how you think, why you think, this is what you become. And may change you, obviously, in some areas of your life. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may discern, literally, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. To know what God's plan is. Churches out there, we know what God's plan is. We know what God's plan is. How do you know? Well, you got to look and see if it's in the Bible or not. If it doesn't cozy up to the Scriptures, not in harmony with the Scriptures, then I'm here to tell you it's not the plan of God. So to give us divine guidance in our service to God, offering ourselves to service to God through the intake and application of Bible doctrine. J, phase 2 deliverance, 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, Timothy, as a communicator of doctrine, as a pastor-teacher. Obviously, the pastor has to stay on top of their game spiritually to make sure that they're not wandering off in regards to some false human viewpoint, eisegesis or whatever other false doctrines that might come out in regards to people and their lives in general. In other words, keep your own nose clean. If you expect other people to keep their nose clean, and you want to be a good example, you want to give good guidance, you got to establish the way yourself. You want to have other people be completely successful in business and become rich, then you've got to get out there, you've got to do it for yourself so that you can show them and be examples to them how to go through the process of doing those things. See? So pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. So that is, keep tabs on your own STA to ensure, and to also ensure that you're not wandering off the straight and narrow of doctrine. Persist or persevere in these things. For if you do this, you will ensure deliverance, literally, both for yourself and for those who hear you. That's a phase 2 deliverance. Deliverance from loss of reward. To maximize regards to our divine good production in SG3. Compare Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed the church of Philippi, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul didn't have to be there beating them over the head with it. These people's postulation was self-motivating. Postulation is self-motivating. So it's not like you have to have somebody over you with a whip all the time telling you to do your work, do your job, see. You're self-starter, you're self-motivated. They reflect their Christian life in the same sense. Work out your salvation. That's their phase two salvation, that is making the maturity adjustment. With fear and trembling, that's sanctified fear. Recognizing how easy it is to go off the straight and narrow. How easy it is to wake up one day and say, I've had enough of that. I don't need doctor anymore. I don't need to go to Bible class anymore. I've got other interests. I'm going to pursue them. I got other goals in life. I'm tired of having my SCA challenged every week. Whatever. I'm just going to water down this doctrine. I'll just quit applying here. One thought, and you can be off and never, never land spiritually. And then verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So pursuing Bible doctrine in fellowship and applying in your Christian life is God working in you. And He is utilizing you. You have become a tool of honor, an instrument of honor, a vessel of honor, if you will. In the analogy, a vessel of dishonor, that are honorable and dishonorable. Of one of honor, that God can adequately use you in regards to being the witness of life, in regards to His plan to others. Okay, true fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. John 14:21. People think getting close to God is going up on some mountain, higher up, the old cowboy mentality. I'm being out in the open. That's my church. I'm close to God out in the open. I grew up hearing that crap. To have fellowship, to commune with God. They set the mystical decorum in regards to things, in communion in churches and stuff. This mysticism that's there. We know what it is to be in fellowship and be out of fellowship. To have true fellowship and the expectations otherwise. Find out what book I'm going here. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, that's exhale faith. You got to have inhale faith. You got to first possess the commandments, have them, and then keeps them. Exhale faith, that's application. He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The closest of types of relationships with God the Father and the Son. Also, one that I don't have in there, just as applicable as 1 John 1:3-6. John says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So there is the exact measure in regards to what is termed as true fellowship among believers. And that is believers that are in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. And the caveat that is given, that which determines whether you're having true fellowship with somebody or not, in that vein, or whether it's with God or in Christ or not, that's verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can't be operating under your sin nature. You can't be operating under human viewpoint, those things that construe darkness and Satan's world, and claim that you have a fellowship with God. You're nothing more than a liar. The truth is not in you. You do not understand Bible doctrine to any degree, even at its most basic precepts and communication. L, true capacity for life, Job 1:22. I am doing my best to get through this tonight. A lot of verses, 21 takes, 21 hours we've been on this doctrine. We could go another 20 if I was really, really slow. And I hear everybody go, no. Job 1:22. True capacity for life. Job, even under his testing, he still maintained his sanctity emotionally, spiritually. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job 2, 9 and 10. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Well, that is a true capacity for life. To be that in tune with God. That even among in the midst of the kind of adversity that he faced, he maintained his spiritual integrity and capacity for God. And life in and of itself. Eternal reward we read 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 14 just recently where gold, silver, precious stone, wood, head, and stubble are contrasted. That translates into from Bible doctrine to SG3 and human viewpoint, SG activity to human good. And those things rewardable, those things burn up. Otherwise, at the banquet seat, the reward ceremony. Colossians 1, 3 through 5. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. That's SG3, the rewards of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. That's phase one, phase two gospel in view. In principle, God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. You must believe of God's revelation of His person. That's active faith. And that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Those who diligently look for and don't give up in regards to knowing Him and understanding Him and His plan for their life. He will amply reward, more than amply. And then finally, Roman numeral 11, the rapture generation is commanded to intensify its intake of Bible doctrine. We are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, even more so as we see the day approaches. There is not a more important time in the era of history that we live in regards to the church to maintain that sanctity and to keep before the throne of grace of God in regards to our prayers that our freedoms is sustained in that respect. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.